welcome back. BSR, we are the Basement Sports Report. We're coming live, Milwaukee, Wisconsin. As usual, we're in the basement. We sip beer. We talk sports. My name is Clayton Windsor. With me is Dan Bertzik. Bertzik, how you doing tonight, man?
I'm doing splendid.
We're doing good. We just wrapped an exclusive, a 12-ounce sports exclusive interview with former Wisconsin Badger safety Natrell Jamerson, who is one of six Badgers invited to the combine. Really, really awesome interview.
We did. Not even going to sugarcoat it. That was a blast.
Oh, so much fun.
Yeah.
But we got a lot to get into.
We do. First thing I need to get into.
Yeah, because it's
ice cold Coors Banquet brewed with cold Rocky Mountain water.
Real beer.
Real beer.
And that's beer talk. Brewed with 100% Rocky Mountain water since 1873.
Tell you what, High Life hasn't hit us back yet, so Coors, here's your chance.
It's Miller Coors. It's Miller Coors. They're the same fucking thing.
Different market. You can't tell me they're the same marketing agency, right?
I don't know, but if you send us beer, we will drink beer.
We will drink your beer forever.
And I'll tweet it out every single week.
That will happen.
And this week,
we're kind of a big deal now. We're interviewing NFL Combine invitees.
Stars.
Yeah.
Stars in their own right.
We're kind of a big deal all
of a sudden. We're trying over here at BSR. At the end of the day, we're just two dudes talking shit about sports
in a basement.
Find us at Podcast BSR on Twitter. If you're listening, shout out to you. We appreciate the support. Hit up our boy, Natrell Jamerson, and wish him good luck.
Yeah, please do.
You can find it at Podcast BSR.
He was an awesome dude. We had a good time.
Yeah, it was cool.
He's a hell of a football player. Hit him up.
And at the end of the day, if you found this on Twitter, Facebook, iTunes, Google Play, CastBox, Podbean, wherever you found this, shout out to you. We appreciate it. Share it with your friends. Share it with your mom. Whatever you got to do.
Hey, my mom listens to this.
Your mom does listen.
Shout out to the BSR mom when she's on business trips.
I get her BSR
fill.
I respect that.
Yeah.
Let's, the first thing after beer talk.
Yeah.
We got to get into the Olympics.
Oh, okay.
Closing ceremonies happen.
Let me flip my notes.
Flip your notes,
bro.
Be a professional.
I am. I still had the interview notes up. I was a professional.
Closing ceremonies have happened.
Yeah.
Medal count comes in. Norway, 1. Germany, 2. Canada, 3.
Does that chap your ass? Because Canada should win Olympic sports, shouldn't they?
USA comes in 4th. Should they win more Olympic sports than the USA?
Yeah, because what do we do good in the Olympics other than extreme sports?
Why isn't football in the Olympics, all right? If football's meant to be played in the cold, why isn't it part of the Winter
Olympics? We're trying
to
get to London, right? We're going to make it national. International.
To London.
Yeah.
So we could have went to Korea.
Gold.
Strap a helmet on, little Chinese guys. See what happens.
Gold medals, 9 total. Is that enough for you?
No.
No. If you're not hitting double digits, get out. That's what I say.
Damn.
Yeah.
That's your take on U.S. Olympics this year?
I will tell you, though.
We kind of got our asses kicked.
We did, and the only thing that salvaged this Olympics for me was two things. Shaun White just slaying it in the halfpipe again.
Okay.
And this men's curling squad.
Men's curling one. Dude looks like Andy Reid.
That's what I'm saying. This dude's mustache was phenomenal.
He looks like a walrus with a hat on.
He does. He looks good.
And I'll go further and say.
I saw several Super Mario memes as well.
This women's hockey team. Yeah. You can find a blog our Down South College Football Insider wrote on this women's hockey team at 12-ounce radio sports or 12oncesportsradio.com. Go up to the top, click articles, BSR articles, or just go to App Podcast BSR on Twitter and you'll find it there. But he wrote an awesome blog about the women's hockey team.
And I wrote a blog about Fergie. So there's a little bit of everything there.
There's a little bit of everything there. I wrote one today. I mean, you can find some articles there.
Everything.
Some blogs.
Yeah.
At the end of the day, we kind of got our asses kicked.
We did. But I tell you, not to just hang my hat on this curling team. This dude, I feel,
curling
screams,
is not a sport that the USA wins.
America. Does he not?
Yeah.
He's got that perfect
mustache.
He's
the kind of guy you can look at him and you know he wants relish on his hot dog.
He wants relish on his hot dog.
And he's eating hot dogs.
He wears flannels year-round.
He's a guy, if you say hot dog or hamburger,
yeah,
he's picking hot dog.
I guarantee you he's got a yellow lab or a golden retriever. He's got just one of those typical American bred dogs there.
Sure.
And I'll tell you what, he's got a wife, couple of kids, and he lives out in the woods. I guarantee it.
Maybe not out in the woods, but he has a nice little spread, 5 acres or something like that, where he's got a couple pigs and some horses and shit.
You think he hunts a lot?
Maybe he hunts. Maybe he just drinks beer and eats hot dogs.
And curls.
That's what I think.
How do you think a guy like that gets into curling?
Yeah.
The man's man.
Yeah, he doesn't live in the woods.
No.
Because you can't curl in the woods.
Do you think he got good at curling from, like, a drinking game of sorts?
I think there's probably, like, there's bar league softball leagues here.
There's bar league curling leagues?
There's bar league curling. You're in a freaking pool league.
Yeah?
We got buddies in dart leagues.
That's true.
He's in a curling league
if
somewhere.
If you're going to find it, Wisconsin is the place to turn any sport into a drinking league.
He's in a curling league in upstate Wisconsin.
Yeah, yeah.
And they just happen to win districts. Happened to win regionals, and they were like, well, shit, you're like, good enough to be in the Olympics.
I mean,
don't you
really
think?
We don't have anybody else. Why not?
How about this? We'll fly you to Korea.
Yeah.
And he looks like the kind of guy that's like, I don't know about them Koreans. Yeah, I don't know. But
and he's like, can I bring the family? And they're like, you can bring whoever the hell
whatever
you want.
Whatever you
want to
do.
I don't care.
Do I have to bring the family? That's how it went.
So, let me ask you this. Since we're on the topic of winter Wisconsin bar sports.
Sure.
You ever heard of dartball?
Yes, with the baseball thing on the board.
Yes, the baseball diamond and you underhand lawn darts.
Do you know a place we can play this?
I used to. It was a shitty little bar called Ice House over by Miller Park. They had a dartball board.
I want to say...
Otherwise, up north, you can find
them a lot. I want to say Garibaldi's has dartball.
Has dartball.
But I'm not sure.
Dartball's incredible. For the 99% of you that are listening that don't know what
it is,
these
heavy
look it up.
Weighted darts.
Big darts.
And you sling them underhand at this way oversized dartboard, but the dartboard is...
It's a baseball diamond.
A baseball diamond.
Yeah.
And depending on where
outs,
it lands...
balls, strikes, whatever.
Yeah, and you run bases and shit.
Yeah.
It's pretty awesome.
It's
I've incredible. Never played, but I've seen it. Like,
it's a lot harder than it looks.
I believe it. Let's go right over. Natrell Jamerson, we talked to him. Check out the interview. NFL Scouting Combine. Let's talk a little bit about some of the names. Sam Darnold, Baker Mayfield, Josh Rosen out of UCLA, Josh Allen, Lamar Jackson.
So we're talking QBs this
We're talking
week.
Major,
like
major QBs for teams like yours that
– Yeah.
Is in the QB market.
Absolutely.
How do you feel about any of these guys?
Who's
your favorite?
My favorite is Baker Mayfield.
You're a Baker
guy? I'm a Baker guy. Okay. I want Baker. That's the move I want them to make.
But
and
any of these guys.
I realize
guys,
any of this recording could come back to bite me in a year when Baker flames out with a DUI or something and he gets caught.
Beats his girlfriend
or something. Like something crazy off the field like Johnny Manziel.
Let's go on record and say we don't want that to happen.
We don't want that to happen.
I want Baker Mayfield.
I don't want that to happen.
Yeah, I want this guy to be successful.
So for me, I like the fiery, passionate, sometimes douchebaggy guy. That's the guy
Cocky.
I want to come in here.
You're an Elway guy. Shocking.
Oh, here we go. I want the guy who's going to come in and say, okay, I'm here. Let's do it. We're going to win now. We're here to win a championship. I don't want the Josh Allen where everybody's like, big arm, accuracy issues, but he's tall.
Sounds like Jay Cutler.
Sounds like everything we've had. Jay Cutler, Brock Osweiler. It sounds like the same old, same old. I don't want that.
Sure.
So I want to mix it up. Let's throw gas on the fire here, and let's go Baker.
Sure.
I'm all in on that.
I don't hate that.
I mean, I'd like a Lamar Jackson, too, somebody who's athletic, flashy. I like the mobile quarterbacks. I'd be okay, too, with if they don't go that route, which I think is a big mistake. I don't want Kirk Cousins. I've said it every week.
You have.
I'd be okay with them exploring even like a Teddy Bridgewater. But you need somebody else because you don't know what you're getting.
We'll get to the guys in the league that are available. First, I just want to talk about Scouting Combine. And we've seen the mock drafts flip-flop. His mock drafts are all the rage right now.
Yep.
Have you done one?
I have not.
Okay. I do one. We're going to do our top 10 just like we did last year.
I like it. Yep.
And a little sneak peek, whoever wins the March Madness bracket gets to come on.
I'll tell you what, the BSR wife has already asked. She asked 2 weeks ago. She said,
what's up with the bracket?
We're doing March Madness again, right? And I was like, I think so. Why? And she's like, because I'm coming on the show again.
Hey,
and
Rach. Like, ooh, okay. Calling her shot. Okay. Rach, you will have your...
You can defend your title.
You will have your opportunity to defend your title and come back on the show. But March Madness is going to happen. Whoever wins the bracket deal comes on the show.
Absolutely.
Let's talk running backs, and it's a running back heavy class, but the standout is Saquon Barkley. Mm-hmm. How do you feel about Saquon Barkley at the next level?
I love it, and I know a lot of people are saying, really, until last year, where was he? You didn't hear about him when Fournette was there. You didn't hear about him.
He was a Heisman candidate the year before, but I get what you're saying.
But everybody wasn't high on him like they are now when there's maybe not as much competition at running back.
Sure.
So I get that, but man, he looked impressive, I gotta say.
My take is if Christian McCaffrey can break out the way he did, and it's system, he was used a lot. And he stayed healthy and did the things that
they
made
used
him
like he was used in college. But look at Corey, put him in all different spots.
Look at Corey Clement too with a breakout season. If those two guys can break out, I need somebody to convince me why Saquon Barkley can't. So if you're in that camp, if you think Saquon Barkley can't do it, I'm at Podcast BSR on Twitter. I'm not hard to find. Convince me why he can't have a season like those two guys.
If you can have a guy, even another example, being Wisconsin guy, James White, he wins a Super Bowl with the Patriots, and it was a pivotal role player on these two Super Bowl teams.
But he had an impact.
Yeah, absolutely.
Talk about impact. A guy like Christian McCaffrey coming in, Carolina cuts Jonathan Stewart today. Now, I don't think McCaffrey's going to be your every down guy. He's your Woodhead.
Yeah.
He's your Clement. He's your change of pace guy. But
he's your guy that you're also lining up in the slot. You're throwing him out on little swing routes, end arounds.
Percy Harvin-esque
putting
player.
The ball in
a
his
guy
hands.
That can play multiple positions.
Yes.
And you got to get the ball to your playmakers, and he is a playmaker.
Absolutely.
I didn't see him breaking out the way he did. But if he can do it, tell me why Saquon can't.
Yeah.
You know? Even further, the Panthers cutting Jonathan Stewart kind of speaks to the kind of player McCaffrey is.
Yeah.
Like, hey, we got a guy that has proven himself a little bit. Let's go draft somebody or let's go play free agency market and see what's out there.
And I think it says a lot that their game plan revolves around him.
I think it does.
You know,
I think you don't cut Jonathan Stewart unless it does.
And you don't get rid of a guy like Kelvin Benjamin, too.
Sure.
So you're getting rid of all these weapons around Cam Newton. This is your guy. You're hooking your trailer to this guy now.
Because it ain't Funches.
No. It ain't bunches of Funches.
The only other thing I want to talk about scouting combine, defensive backs. Heavy defensive back class. Not to mention our guy, Natrell Jamerson. Derwin James out of FSU, Dante Jackson out of LSU, Denzel Ward out of OSU, that's Ohio State, Minka Fitzpatrick out of Bama, Mike Hughes out of UCF, Carlton Davis out of Auburn, et cetera, et cetera. That's just to name a handful. The top three, four schools I just named consider themselves DBU.
Yeah.
This is a defensive back heavy class. I like Minka Fitzpatrick. I think he's a stud. Which one of these guys do you look for if you need defensive help? Because I'm a Packer fan.
I was just going to say.
I need defensive help.
I've been so focused offensively because that's where I'm hurting.
Sure.
This is definitely somewhere where the Packers need to focus some of their efforts.
No doubt. No doubt. And it's a heavy
being
class.
A Broncos fan, I'm all in on quarterbacks right now. I am so focused on what we're going to do at 5. I get worried that we're not going to do something at 5, too.
Yeah.
I get worried we're going to sign one of these free agents that we'll talk about.
Or an O-lineman.
And then we're
going to
trade
something.
Down or something. And
that's what
the
Packers do every year.
I know.
All of a sudden, we don't have a first-round pick.
I just feel like this is
what did we just do?
This is a year where we don't have a lot of time left with this defense, with this window. We got a top-5 pick. We have to hit.
I agree. I agree, and you got to hit on the offensive side of the
ball. And I don't think going a DB or a D lineman, anything like that, is going to do it. I think we need a bona fide playmaker.
I agree. Let's shift gears a little bit. Let's go to some pre-draft storylines. And we're what, a month away from the draft? A little more?
A little more. April, whatever.
So I said Jonathan Stewart cut today.
Mm-hmm.
You're hearing this. It was yesterday. Jonathan Stewart was cut. Doug Martin cut in the last couple weeks. We mentioned that. A lot of people think, he'll fizzle out.
Yeah. I never was a huge Doug Martin guy.
The Bears release Mike Glennon today
mm-hmm.
with a boatload of money that he just showed up, collected. All right, I'm out, I guess.
I mean, I think we all knew that was coming, though, because Trubisky's their guy, right? You're not going to pay Glennon a boatload of money to sit on the bench.
What a bonehead move for the Bears.
To sign this guy and then immediately draft someone else?
Yep.
We talked about it on this show. They invited him to their draft party and then drafted a quarterback in his face. Like, what are you doing?
Traded up and did it.
Yeah,
be traded a professional, up, Bears. Even though they traded up one spot. Traded up one spot.
Traded up a lot. Gave a lot up.
For Mitch Trubisky.
Trubisky's their guy.
Yeah, I agree. And I don't know how I feel about it. This year will tell. Year two will tell.
Mm-hmm.
Andrew Luck. Big storylines coming out of Indianapolis. Did I say Indy?
Yeah.
They're talking trade. They're talking... They don't know what's going on.
Nobody knows what's going on with
strange.
Andrew Luck. And that's
very strange.
This is... It was strange last year. You're on your second year now. This is almost a year and a half since his injury, and nobody knows where he's at.
Weird.
Yeah.
Then we get to the Minnesota QB situation. You got Keenum, who I think they're going to end up going with. Sam Bradford, big question mark. Denver, Arizona, people need QBs.
Bradford's going somewhere else. Let's scratch him out right there. Minnesota is not going to re-sign Bradford.
I think Bradford... I said before, I don't think Bradford takes another NFL snap.
Ooh, that's...
But I'm also a Bradford hater.
Just a little bit, yeah.
Then you got Teddy Bridgewater. Big question mark.
Mm-hmm.
Where does Teddy end up? You already mentioned it. You wouldn't hate to see him in
Denver.
I
wouldn't hate it, no. I was a Teddy guy.
Do you like any of these guys for the Broncos?
I like Teddy just because of the potential, but he's also scary. Nobody
you
knows.
You have to hit.
You have to hit, and nobody knows with the knee. Is that going to hold up? That was a super scary knee injury, and nobody knew what they had really when he got hurt. He was a guy that showed a lot of potential, but he wasn't a guy that it was like, this is the guy. Otherwise, the Vikings wouldn't be questioning it, right? And yeah. Keenum is a guy that Minnesota kind of came out, and they didn't officially say it, but they pretty much indicated they're not going to franchise him. So they look like they're passing on both of these guys and are going to go all in on the Kirk Cousins.
They look like their focus is solely on Kirk Cousins.
Yes.
Because they haven't done anything with Keenum yet. And if I'm Keenum, I'm sitting there kind of like, what do I got to do, guys?
Yeah.
I just took us on a deep playoff run. Nobody thought we could do this.
Can we low-key talk about the fact free agency opens? Technically, the free agency is March 14th. Now, okay. I believe it's March 12th is the window in which teams can start talking to players, start
right.
talking to agents. So half of these sure. deals are done before the 14th as it is. But if we're looking at the 12th, we're five... We are a week and a half away
right?
from free agency.
Which is what makes these storylines even crazier.
And
because
Drew Brees is not signed.
Mm.
Nobody's talking about this. Big
yeah.
Rick.
Big
hit
Rick.
Us up. What's going on
What's
here?
What's going on, Big
We're
Rick?
We're a week and a half from every other team in the NFL being able to throw themselves
Should
at
I
Drew
do
Brees.
It? Big Rick, I think Drew Brees ends up somewhere else.
Oh, he's going to be so triggered.
He's triggered.
He's triggered. I tell you.
I don't
but
know,
that's
man.
A storyline that is so quiet.
They can't let Drew Brees walk, can they?
Then why isn't a deal done? Why did they let his contract expire? Why are we a week and a half from free agency and he has not signed a contract?
Yeah, I don't know. Unless they're looking Kirk Cousins too. Unless they're looking at some of these other options because... Quarterback heavy class, Darnold, Mayfield, Rosen, Allen, Lamar Jackson, and that scratches the surface. There's some other guys sleeping
yeah.
It's interesting.
And I'll tell you what, John Elway is not afraid to throw a boatload of cash at a proven veteran.
No, he is not. Peyton Manning. No, he is not.
You know?
Dude, we would have some great content if Drew Brees ended up in Denver.
If Drew Brees ended up in Denver, I would call Big Rick the moment it came across the ticker.
Recording.
Yeah. Recording. Absolutely.
And he would be crying like I did when you called me recording. We don't have to rehash that.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
You don't want to insert the clip right there. Okay, so Kirk Cousins probably going to get a $150 million deal.
So gross.
Minnesota's going at him hard. I think they're throwing what they can at him, making them an immediate Super Bowl contender, right?
I don't think we've really ever gotten your perspective on this.
I don't think so, because they can't. Does Kirk
Cousins take a team on the fringe and turn them into immediate contender?
My thing is, I haven't seen them improve that greatly running the ball.
Well, this is a Minnesota team that will have Dalvin Cook back.
Yeah,
they have their defense. Their defense is solid. It's stacked.
It's do you believe in Kirk Cousins? I think they're it takes time to build that chemistry.
Is he a guy that can put you over the hump?
We're going to find out, because he's going to end up.
He's on the fence post.
I'm on the fence post. I've never put my faith in Kirk Cousins.
If you're a team that needs a quarterback, are you signing Kirk Cousins? Are you signing him?
I don't want to give him $150
million. No, I don't either.
Yeah, no. I'm rolling the dice on somebody else.
I agree. I'm drafting.
I think he's won some big games. I think he's also had some really questionable moments.
Yeah.
And he's not the guy a locker room rallies around. He's kind of a hateable dude.
That's what I think, too. I think part of the reason I don't like him is just because he's got that face. It's something about his face.
Can he change it?
No, I just want to put my fist in it.
Can he do anything about
it? No, he can't do anything about it. It's just his face.
Okay. Yeah. AJ McCarron's another name that's been floating around.
I would be okay with that, but the question is what do you pay AJ McCarron?
Yeah.
He has nothing, right? He started like one game.
You've
got
to give him money, though. He's not on a rookie contract.
Correct.
Yet.
He's got to get paid.
And at the end of the day,
you don't know what you're getting, though.
The Browns are a team that is favored to get AJ McCarron in the reports anyway. It's all let's start. It's all speculation.
Absolutely. And that's why this year free agency to me is a lot more fun than a ton of years.
The last
past.
Couple years
the
have
quarterbacks
been wild.
Is just absolutely insane. All the quarterbacks that are on the market and all these teams that need them.
And you've got a team like the Packers that are going, let's go ahead and address Aaron Rodgers right now.
Yeah. We need to
He's
wrap
two
that
years
up.
Out? No. Let's go ahead and address that immediately.
When you see Stafford getting money and now you see Kirk Cousins is going to be the highest paid quarterback in the league, hey, Aaron, we're going to take care of you right now before we have to give you $200 million in a year.
Exactly. Or it's more like, we don't want you looking elsewhere. We don't want you looking elsewhere. We want you to be a Packer great. But the Packers have made questionable decisions and done things kind of against the fray.
Yeah, I think there was a Packer great that got pushed out the door.
Yes, there was.
A while ago.
Yes, there was. The other thing I read today, which it's the Browns, so it's here nor there. They're looking at coming and getting Simeon, which is interesting.
Yeah. Yeah,
serviceable
option
for them.
What are they
going to
give us, a bag of footballs for him?
Bag of footballs, a couple of pylons, whatever you need.
Speaking of shitty trades, let's talk about the
Marcus
Peters trade.
They'll pay for the replacement on the sign outside that says Sports Authority Field. What is it? Is it changing to John Elway Field? What is it going to be?
Nobody knows.
Because Sports Authority is dead.
It doesn't even exist. They're still on the stadium.
It's
going to
be Dick's Sporting Goods Field?
Probably, yeah.
All right.
Let's talk about Marcus Peters. So the Chiefs give Marcus Peters away to the Rams for, I believe it was a second round pick next year and this year's fourth round pick.
Yes.
And they also gave away their sixth round. So basically they move from sixth to fourth round this year and next year they get a second for an all pro cornerback who has 2 years left on his rookie deal.
Now let's talk about what Kev said, because he is the insider. Kansas City Chiefs insider said,
"Dude's a nutcase.
Dude's this has been coming for a while.
He is a problem child. We all know that. We all know he's gotten in fights. He took a referee's flag and threw it into the stands.
Not a locker room glue.
Not a locker room guy.
Not a glue guy.
No."
So
but he's an all pro.
You can't just let that guy walk for a bag of peanuts.
Yeah, the rumor is they called around and there was all of three teams that were interested, and this was the best out of the three.
Man.
Do you think they got robbed? Because I do. Because now this dude's going to be playing with a chip on his shoulder to prove them wrong. And whatever team has him, got him on the cheap for 2 years. The Rams are getting this dude on the cheap.
Yeah. Yeah. I think it was a bad trade on the Chiefs.
Yeah. Yeah.
I think we both can agree with that.
The Chiefs so far have traded away Alex Smith, their starting quarterback, and traded away their best cornerback. And what have they gained? A bunch of questionable draft picks.
I dead honest don't see the Chiefs being a factor for the foreseeable future. I think it's going to be 3 to 5 years before they're back in playoff contention. Wow. With Mahomes, it's going to take time.
Okay. That's hot.
It's going to take time.
Kevin is not going to be happy about that.
Too bad.
It's a hot take.
Let's talk something we might not agree on, and that's Blake Bortles. Got his deal.
Let's take the doomsday clock. We're going to wind that back all the way to 11 o'clock. All the way to 11 because we are nowhere near, right?
No. And it's you know, it's one of those things where you either believe he should have got this or you don't. And and at the end of the day, I think we need to
Yeah. Are we going to dive deep?
I think we got to dive deep.
Okay.
Bortles gets his deal. Jags give him $54
million. $54
million. Yep. With what guaranteed?
It was like 16 or something. It was
19. Nothing. Call it a round number. Let's call it 20 of that 54 is guaranteed.
Yeah.
And it's only guaranteed. It's guaranteed money only for injury. If he gets injured, he gets that money. If it's something else, they don't have to pay him.
So they're basically getting off scot-free when they're done with this guy.
Pretty much.
So they can trade him
or deal him, and that money is no longer guaranteed.
This contract is basically a bridge, is what it is. So for Jacksonville, I get it. Sure, you had to do something. I mean, but he's got a fifth-year option, I guess you could have picked up if you really wanted to transition.
Sure.
Blake Bortles, to me, he's been the joke on this podcast for a year and a half now.
Blake Bortles' doomsday clock.
I don't see this guy ever being the guy. Or you can have a great defense. I don't see him being the Trent Dilfer that's going to just ride a great defense to a Super Bowl. I don't see that. And I get you have Fournette. You have a lot of weapons around him now. To me, he's not worth the money. When you could take a flyer on a guy like a Case Keenum or like a Teddy Bridgewater you're going to go that route, you can't tell me you couldn't sign Teddy Bridgewater on a similar contract.
But what was the deal? Was it 3 year?
3 or 4. I'll look up the deal.
I think it was 3. But when they're done with him, it's not guaranteed anymore. I could see them going and drafting and developing somebody right now.
Yeah, for sure.
Was this a decent investment? Because when you think about this contract, you've got so many people out there that are saying this was stupid.
He gets $26 million guaranteed.
For injury.
I don't know.
The guaranteed's for injury.
Okay.
So my deal is if 23 is more than what I thought it was, but
26.
26 is more than what I thought it was, but you got a lot of people saying that this was a boner move by the Jags.
Yeah, yeah.
And if you ask me, this isn't near what quarterbacks are getting these days.
Okay, so the Blake Bortles deal, he gets $26 million fully guaranteed. He's getting that money. That's what he's getting paid. Matt Stafford got $60 million guaranteed. Aaron Rodgers got $54 million. And Jimmy G just got $48 million. So,
you're going to watch Cousins and Rodgers get more than that.
Oh, for sure.
Immediately.
For sure.
Immediately. You may see a guy in Keenum and a guy in Bradford and a guy in Bridgewater. You may see all three of them get more favorable contracts than what they just gave Bortles.
Yeah.
I don't hate the move.
And
I'll be honest. I don't hate it.
The big thing is he was scheduled to make $19 million in 2018. And instead, he'll make $20 million and then $16 million and then $18 million. But the cap hit is what it really is. They took the cap hit from like $15 million to $9 million or something. The way they structured the deal with the guaranteed money, they freed up something like $9 million next year against the cap.
Sure.
That's what's huge.
Yeah.
So they signed him to a very team-friendly option, but still respectable enough to say, hey, man, you did take us to the playoffs. You know, you did take us to an AFC title game. And here is a thank you. And here is what you've, quote unquote, earned. But it's not enough to say that you're the guy forever. It gives us the option to move on.
Sure.
Which I like that. But I think you could do that with Bridgewater. You could do that with Keenum. You could do that with any of those guys.
Going after an A.J. McCarron or going after a Bridgewater than just signing the guy that just took you to the playoffs.
Okay.
I mean, to me, I don't hate the deal.
We shit on this guy all year.
We do. We do, and that's fine.
And now you're okay with him getting a $26 million guaranteed deal.
I think that the dollar amount's relative.
To other quarterbacks, he's somewhere like 15th or 16th in the league.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And he's coming off a playoff run.
Okay.
So I just don't hate the deal.
Okay.
And I talked to Tuna, who was like, I got one in the pipeline about how the Jags fucked up and this is the worst deal they've ever made. And what are they doing signing him? And I'm like, yeah, I get that. And that's cool. I mean, you blog whatever. I tell our guys, you blog whatever you want. Blog. Yeah. But I don't hate the move. I think it's relative.
Okay.
That's just me.
I'm going to shit on this guy all year. This doomsday clock will strike midnight this year. Hot take.
Nice.
Blake Bortles, the writing will be on the wall by the end of the year. The Jaguars will be ready to move on.
Sorry, Blake. You got any other pre-draft storylines?
I do have some NFL storylines. I got two in particular. One involves everybody's podcast favorite, Jerry Jones. So Jerry Jones in the league, you may have remembered, had a little bit of squabble over the Ezekiel Elliott thing. He also wanted to prevent Roger Goodell from signing a contract extension.
Trying to prevent that.
Between all the legal battles that he went through over the Elliott suspension and everything else, the NFL has not fined him, but it was like, quote unquote, penalized him.
Okay.
$2 million. And they basically based that on the amount of legal fees that they paid. And I guess this isn't unprecedented. It's in their whatever their deal that the owners have to pay legal fees that the league basically has to fork out if whatever case they brought against him is unfounded. They're responsible for it. So now the league is going after Jerry Jones for $2 million. And, of course, Jerry's response is he wants a sit-down meeting with Roger Goodell now to discuss what has transpired.
Okay.
Jerry, what say you? Huh?
Well, at the end of the day,
yeah,
Jerry pisses $2 million.
Doesn't even care.
It doesn't matter.
Yeah. Right.
It doesn't matter. But do you think he deserves a sit down with Goodell to try to hash things out? Because at the end of the day, they're both very powerful.
But at the end of the day, Jerry Jones tried to get this dude fired. If you just draw the line at what he was trying to do, he did not want this guy to sign a contract extension, a.k.a. I want you out.
Should we get Jerry on?
Yeah, Jerry, tell us what you're thinking here.
You know, with this whole Roger Goodell thing, let's be honest here. I ain't the only guy in the business trying to get rid of this ass clown.
But you are the only one publicly, vocally against this guy.
Well, I ain't scared.
I like it. Jerry Jones ain't scared. If there's one thing, he's not scared.
At the end of the day, I stick up for my guys. Des Bryant caught the damn ball. And Ezekiel Elliott wasn't ever involved with any of that stuff. We're not going to circumcise a mosquito, but at the end of the day, I didn't want Roger Goodell in there anymore. He's done a terrible job. He's targeted my players.
But he's made owners a lot of money, yourself included.
Yeah, I got the text message that I was being fined, and I was up in my helicopter. And at the end of the day, I'll pay that money.
You're going to cut the check. That's what's going to happen.
I got no problem paying him, and I'll tell him kiss my ass at the same time.
Jerry Jones has got to be close to... He's got to be a billionaire, right? Or close.
He owns Jerry's World.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. At least in assets, he's a billionaire.
Now you mentioned Dez caught it. That's another thing that popped up this week. The NFL Rules Committee has been talking actively, and naturally, what's the biggest topic?
Catch rule.
What's a catch?
Yeah.
Now, they said that everybody there unanimously said that the Calvin Johnson catch and the Dez Bryant catch were catches, that they should have been ruled catches. Now, they weren't ruled because of the ruling at the time and stuff.
Sure.
So they're going to try and make some changes to the wording about it.
Are they going to simplify or are they going to complicate it?
I guess the goal is going to be to give the refs a little more power, right? To give them a little more say in more of like the eye test. What's okay. A catch, you know?
Sure.
So what do you think about the fact that the Dez Bryant ruling, they said, yeah, that should have been a catch. Do you agree? You thought it should have been a catch?
Unbiased Packer fan, I've never once looked back and went, that was a catch.
So you've never always thought once. It wasn't a catch.
I always thought it wasn't a catch.
I
hit
disagree.
The ground, it came
okay.
out.
Okay.
I always thought it wasn't a catch.
Okay.
But I've rewatched it in the last couple days, and it's that.
You can see how it could be argued
it's
it wasn't a catch.
On the line, bang, bang, I get yeah. it. I yeah. get it. And that's the kind of thing that they have to simplify and figure out, okay, how do we make this ruling more easy to make
yeah.
at that point in time?
The other
how
thing,
can I quickly look and go, no, yeah. You know.
The other thing that came up is the pass interference rule. The current rule is it's spot of the ball foul.
Yeah, spot foul.
Now they're talking. There are several people on the committee that want to make it a 15-yard penalty max.
Well, you got guys like Aaron Rodgers that go, oh, I got somebody one-on-one. I'm going to throw it up, and he's going to jump into the coverage.
Yeah. So they're trying to eliminate that
quarterbacks-
and give the defender a little bit of help. But here's my take on it. I hate that rule. I hate
the spot foul.
Nope. I hate the straight 15 because at the end of the game, what's to stop you as a DB from laying me out on a deep ball?
True.
Because I'm only going to get 15, right?
I agree.
I'm not going to get the 60-yard bomb.
I agree 100%.
So now they're pushing towards this and they're trying to make it more like a college rule where it's a spot foul or not a spot foul. It's more the 15 yards. For everything.
I like the spot foul. I don't mind the spot foul, but I think they need to figure out a way to simplify that ruling as well because I just think that defenders do need a little help and they have a right to that ball too, you know? I think the defense has a right to that ball too. If they're making a play on the ball, you can't call it a pass interference.
But I get that, but isn't not going to just force defenders to lay dudes out when they know that's going to be more than 15 yards. Well, I'll
no,
just lay
I think,
them out.
I like it being a spot foul. I like it being a spot foul because if you do just lay them out, you're costing your team. It's, you know, it's not a 15 yard penalty in the grand scheme of things. If you're pinned down on your 10 and you throw a bomb and it's a 15 yard penalty, who cares? You made it to the 30, you know?
Yeah, I totally agree. I hope it's a rule that doesn't get changed. The catch rule, obviously, we both agree.
They got to do something.
Has
yeah.
to be changed.
And
there.
We'll see, you know? Yeah. It's the offseason. It's the time for that stuff to happen. So
yeah.
Let's take a quick break.
Okay.
Get a little refill.
Yeah.
And then we'll jump into some segments. I got some questions for Zick. Got a little something or nothing. And we're going to deep dive one more time. I got a pretty big topic. So
ooh, two deep dives in one episode?
We may have three deep dives.
Okay.
So stick with us. We'll be right back. We're back. Stick with football. Combine's coming up. Mentioned some quarterback names. Sam Darnold has come out and said he is not throwing at the combine.
Is that a big deal for you?
Question for Zick.
Okay.
Yeah, I think that it's interesting because some of these players, I mean, the combine is one of those things where it's like if you come here and you're fast and you can jump really high, it will make you millions of dollars.
Uh-huh.
you could jump from a second, third rounder up to the first round just because you have a good combine. Or you can drop out and lose millions of dollars. And it's one of the only things I was talking to Gilly about it. Shout out to our boy Gilbride. I was talking to Gilly about how this is the one place where you come, you try out, even though they have all the film in the world they could ever need on you.
Mm-hmm.
You played X amount of years. They got all the film they need on these first rounders. But it's like, no, come here and throw the ball through these hula hoops and run and slam. And a guy like Sam Darnold has the right to go, no.
Yep.
I'm not throwing the ball.
I totally agree. I think,
your perspective, is this something or nothing?
This is nothing in the fact that at the quarterback position, for me personally, I think they have more to lose than they do to gain. Because I'll tell you what, year after year, there's a quarterback that goes and throws at the combine, and they miss the first two or three wide receivers.
They don't like the mechanics.
And right away, they're saying, hey, his combine day was highly inaccurate. He looked nervous. He was overthrowing receivers. He was underthrowing receivers. Whatever it is. Dude, there's a reason the guy's going to be a top five quarterback pick, right?
Sure,
there's a reason all these teams are going after him. He doesn't need to improve his draft stock anymore.
There's mock drafts that have him going first overall.
And that's just it. So if he goes there and he does throw a little outside and that receiver doesn't make the catch, people are going to be talking about, it's a bad combine, I don't know about that.
Even further, these guys have the right to go, I'm not throwing at the combine, come to my pro day instead.
Yep.
And it's at their college with their receivers, their coaches, and it's rehearsed. It's a drill that they have orchestrated.
I think the pro day is a lot more in the realm. A lot of people are like, well, if you're that good and you're not afraid, you should be there throwing. What are you afraid of?
No.
You're afraid of this receiver that you don't know.
Yeah. Running a wrong route.
You're afraid of every single coach up your ass while you're trying to throw a ball on a field you've never been to with a receiver you've never thrown to.
My name's Sam Darnold. You have 3.5 years of film on me.
If you want to know how I am as a quarterback in a game, go look at all my game tape. You don't need me to throw in an arena.
I don't need to run a 40 and throw through hoops.
No.
I'm good.
Now, if you're a wide receiver, hell yeah, I want you to run that 40. Don't tell me you're not going to run the 40.
You run the 40 at your pro day? Not the same, because it's not the same track.
That's when I don't like the pro day thing, because for me, the 40 is one of the only, the 40, the bench press, that's something where it's like, I want to see you against everyone else on a level field.
Explosive power, the high jump.
I want to see you versus everyone else on a level field. Sure. I don't want your guy with the stopwatch who's just a little bit quick on it.
A little trigger.
Yeah, a little trigger happy with the stopwatch. I don't want that guy giving me the numbers.
I think the NFL scouts giving me the numbers. I think the combine, and it's not to take anything away, combine's great for a guy like Natrell Jamerson, a guy that's
going to go there and put up 30, 35 reps on the bench improve some draft stock.
And people are going to go, damn, this guy's a monster.
Yep.
It's good to prove yourself when you're not being mocked in the first round.
Yeah.
You're not being mocked in the second round.
That's where you have more to gain than you have to lose.
I agree.
If you come in and you're a little weak or you're a little slow, they're going to say, okay, that's why we had him as like a fifth or sixth rounder because of that. But if you come in and blow them away, it's, wow, maybe we got this guy a little low, right?
Question number two and questions for Zick. A lot of rumors about LeBron have been going around. Would LeBron be a good fit in Philly with the Sixers? Because that's kind of been the rumor as of the last week, which it could change tomorrow.
Trust the process.
And
there are
Embiid after the break, Giannis said, well, Embiid told me to trust the process and come play in Philly.
And it's one of those things that now there's billboards in Cleveland too from a Philly company telling
somebody
him to come.
Yeah.
Like, we get it. Everybody wants LeBron. To me, I don't think he's going to go to Philly. Philly is going to be a good team. But for me, I see him going to this this superstar team he's going to make, whether it be the Lakers or whether it be, you know, whoever, Golden State. He's going to go to a team where he's guaranteed to win because this guy doesn't like to lose. And I'll tell you what, when he starts losing, the first thing he does is look for talent.
For sure.
You know?
I can agree 100% with all of that. We can also agree that if LeBron goes to Golden State, we are no longer talking NBA on this podcast at all.
It's an absolute boycott. While we're on LeBron, I got a question for you.
Okay.
Did you hear he had a comment about officiating the other day, and it was almost a subtle jab towards the Golden State. He basically said, I only went to the line four times tonight. I drive the lane 100 times a game, and I'm only on the line four times. And it's basically, we protect the shooters. Chicks dig the long ball. The league protects the shooters now, not the guys driving.
Okay.
How do you feel about that?
I feel like nobody's happy with officiating right now.
No.
From high school ball all the way to the bigs, nobody's happy with officiating. At the end of the day, I think the game has changed. You can't be a big guy that's just going to bully your way to the rack every time. And if you are,
can, but you're not going to get the calls.
You're not going to get the calls if you're going up against a small guy. And a guy like LeBron is similar to Cam Newton getting hit in the backfield.
So you do think it is that they see his size, they see his physicality, and they're like, if he's going to be physical, we're not going to call the fouls. You're going to let him play.
But if he's going to be physical, we got to let him play a little bit because these shoulder nudges that he's throwing, we could call a foul on that too.
Agreed.
So it goes both ways. And I think players aren't happy with officiating right now, and this wouldn't even be something you'd bring up if we hadn't talked about officiating several times. Mm-hmm. I also saw your tweet that LeBron's a crybaby.
He is. He really is.
But at the end of the day, I get where he's coming from because it's the same complaint we hear out of Cam in that I'm a big physical running guy and I'm not protected. I don't get the late hit calls.
Yeah.
And we've seen people destroy Cam Newton and then keep yes, that flag in their pocket.
Yeah.
So I get the frustration. At the end of the day, LeBron, you're the best player in the league. Stop bitching about not having enough talent.
Thank you.
Stop bitching about not getting calls.
Thank you.
Question number three, questions for Zick. Stephen A. Smith came out and gave the Rockets a chance to win the finals. He said make the finals. I changed that to win.
Okay.
He's saying they can make the finals.
I agree.
Do you give them that chance?
I think they are on a hell of a run, and I think Chris Paul is finding his mojo with Harden.
No doubt.
They're really playing well together, and a lot of people didn't know how they were going to share, I guess, for lack of better terms. But I think they're really playing well. Now, the only thing that worries me is Golden State, obviously. And the reason it worries me is because Golden State can get into a shootout at any point and keep up. I don't know that the Rockets can. If they get behind 20 early,
ugly.
I don't know that they're going to come back.
I don't know that they can
scratch. Golden State can throw up 20 at the drop of a hat like that. So. Yeah. I think if Golden State falls behind early in a game, Klay Thompson starts, you know, putting them
down. Somebody's going to pick that slack
up. Yeah, somebody's going to drop 20, 30 points
even
in
a quarter. Even a guy like Draymond can get streaky from the outside and start draining shots.
And I think that's something you don't have with the Rockets per se.
That's 4 3-point shooters with Draymond, Klay, Steph, KD, and they got others too.
So if they get behind, they can just start dropping dimes from beyond the arc. Whereas the Rockets are a team, I think they can beat Golden State, no doubt. But I think if they get behind early, they'll have a harder time catching up.
I could agree with that. You got anything else, NBA?
NBA, the Bucks coming out of the break, a little bit of local talk. They're 1-2. They had an overtime win in Toronto. They had an overtime loss.
Beautiful win in
Absolutely.
Toronto. It was awesome.
Beautiful. They had an overtime loss against the Pelicans at home.
And then we lost.
And then we lost to the Wizards last night. We were down 18.
Yeah, I think we were down 21 at one
21,
point.
21. Made a comeback. Made it a 2-point game. Now, in both the Pelicans game and this game against the Wizards, Giannis had the ball, had a potential game-tying or game-winning shot, and didn't drop either one of them. Is Giannis the guy that you want having the ball with the game on the line?
I think he has to be, man. I think he has to be, but I'm not mad if he kicks that out to the Jet.
He's not making that little jumper right now.
I'm not mad if he kicks that out to the Jet. I'm not mad if he kicks that out to Middleton or Snell.
Or Jabari.
But they played good defense on those possessions.
Yeah.
So I can't be mad at Giannis trying to make something out of nothing.
Okay. I like it.
I mean, that's my take. I think Giannis is the guy, and I think Giannis is trying to shoulder that burden. And I respect that, and I think that will come with time. He'll realize when he needs to kick that out.
Another team that's 1-2 out of the break, the Cavs, their only win coming against, I believe it was the Jazz, maybe.
Okay.
Some gimme game. This was a team that everybody was crowding, right, going right into the All-Star break. Yeah, oh, my God, the Cavs are the best team in the world again.
Yeah.
Now they're losing again.
How far are we from postseason? It's like 3 weeks,
two weeks. Yeah, there's about 20 games left, maybe.
Yeah, it's not much. It's not only much. It's only like 2 or 3 weeks. Yeah. So,
Are you still seeing the Raptors or Boston as the team to beat? Or do you see the Cavs getting it together?
I think Boston's the team to beat still.
Okay.
Even though the Raptors have been hot, I think Boston's the team to beat. I think playoff LeBron's going to be tough to beat no matter what. And I'll just leave it at that.
Who are you taking in the West?
I'm taking Golden State.
Okay.
I got Golden State to the finals. You said you like the Rockets.
I like the Rockets.
I can appreciate that. I think I've got it's either going to be the Cavs or Boston versus Golden State. I'm going to stick with that. I don't think the Raptors have the juice like that.
Okay.
Let me go to let's shift gears. Let's go baseball. Tim Lincecum in the MLB trade rumors should have been signed. The word was he'd be signed by the end of the week. The Rangers and the Dodgers were the whispers. Whispers. Do you see Tim Lincecum as a MLB starter right now?
They're saying that he's throwing just as hard as he was years ago now. They're saying that he's getting his fastball back.
We're close to 8-10 years removed from his rookie. Like
from when he was a phenom with the Giants. Yeah. So, I mean, I'd love to see a success. I was a Lincecum guy. I liked Lincecum.
Yeah, me
too. I didn't like to see the big struggles and the fall off. So, I hope he comes back and maybe he's a 4 or 5 guy in the rotation. Okay. He doesn't need to come back and be an ace.
But be a starter.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
I believe he got signed by the Rangers in the last couple days, which it was rumored at that time when I prepped.
Yeah.
To happen by the end of the week. And I'm pretty sure it was either yesterday or this morning.
And if it's not, it will be by Thursday.
They've been
sure.
working on inking a deal with the Rangers. So it's interesting. He was a guy that, like you said, he was a phenom. He was a guy that hit the scene and it was the long hair and a little skinny dude. It was like he was an easy guy to like.
He was a little dude throwing flame balls.
And then he fell off.
Yep.
Is he a starter now? We're going to find out.
Yeah.
Another kind of baseball story, kind of football story. Russell Wilson at Yankees training camp. Hitting dingers.
6 of them.
Is this something or nothing?
It's nothing because he's literally going to be there for a week and then leave, but it's a cool publicity thing. My question is, why did the Yankees trade for him? Like, is it that much of a cool publicity locker room guy type thing?
Did they just trade for him?
They traded for him, yes.
It's
weird. Yeah, it's weird. From the Rangers, actually. And they acquired him for whatever, some cheap draft pick, bag of baseballs, whatever. But they traded for him.
You have an 8th round pick.
Whatever. Yeah, they traded for him, and he's at Yankees camp. And it's interesting. He hit 6 dingers. Judge hit 10, and Stanton hit
apparently
like
he took a ground
14,
ball off his face, too.
Okay, there you go.
Worst weekend
Seattle,
than you.
You're not happy about that.
Yeah, worst weekend than you. Russell Wilson takes one off the kisser. I got one more for you if you don't have anything else.
Let's do it. What do you got?
Ronda Rousey.
Yeah.
In the WWE.
Here we go.
Is this something or nothing?
This is something.
This is something.
This is something.
Talk to me about it.
Ronda Rousey made her debut at the last pay-per-view they had. It was Elimination Chamber, and it was, well, she made her debut at Royal Rumble, and then they said she was going to be an official signee at Elimination Chamber.
Okay.
So they bring her out for the big contract signing and whatnot, and Triple H and Stephanie are in the ring with the contract and yada, yada, yada. Long story short, it ended with her hip-tossing Triple H through a table, and basically what it's looking like is she'll face Triple H and Stephanie with Kurt Angle at WrestleMania is where it's looking at right now.
Oh, shit.
This is a big deal, though, because she's arguably one of the most famous names that they've signed, somebody who didn't build their fame in WWE.
Sure.
You had Brock Lesnar, but he was in WWE before he went to UFC.
Sure.
And then he came back. This is a girl now who has a huge following before she has any wrestling experience.
No doubt. No doubt.
Yeah. It's big for them. It's, I think, something, it's something. For sure.
Aren't you supposed to be on Two-Man Bands?
I'm going to be on Two-Man Bands Elimination Chamber review this weekend. He's got me on Friday night. I'm guessing it'll drop that weekend, so check me out there. Follow them at 2MB. I believe they have 2MB
Sports. 2MB Podcast, 2MB Sports.
They got a couple different ones. Look for Two-Man Band Podcast, Two-Man Band Sports. We'll retweet it.
Yeah, you can find it at Podcast BSR, no problem. Shout out to the Two-Man Band guys. Big Rick, he's getting triggered all the time. That's my guy, though. Ooh. I like Big Rick. speaking of WWE, Gronk tweets today, okay. Hashtag clueless.
Yeah.
And people are like, whoa, dude, what does this mean? What is this?
Yeah, because no, because it was, he was going to debate his future. Or
Pats fans are triggered.
About his future.
Pats fans are triggered.
Okay.
But at the end of the day, people, the rumor mill is that he'll, when he's done with football.
When he's done, he'll be in the WWE. He will.
Which is, again, a guy with a massive following.
He's already been at WrestleMania in the crowd. He's already
drinking
made his
beers
little
and
appearance.
Taking his shirt off.
So he's already a WWE super fan
esque.
He'll be there.
He's a character.
He's a character. He's a character already. It's already like built.
That.
Yeah.
You'll have to talk about that on Two Man Band. See what they think about Gronk.
He'll be there for sure.
I've got something else we got to talk about, okay. And that's something we got to get a little deeper into, and that's the NCAA men's basketball in this FBI situation, right?
Yeah.
And it's teams identified from this report from Yahoo. There's been documents released. There's been a lot of different things, and the crux of it is teams have been identified for paying players to come to their school.
Big name teams. We're talking UNC. We're talking Kentucky. We're talking
Duke, North Duke, Carolina, yeah. Kentucky.
All the big ones.
Kansas, Michigan State, USC, Texas. Your blue bloods. Your top 15 programs.
Yeah. Your one seeds. Your two seeds.
LSU, Maryland, Seton Hall. These are big name schools.
Yeah.
And
don't act like you're surprised.
Okay.
Are you surprised that these guys were paying kids?
No.
Come on.
But so a couple things.
But you are surprised that the feds have been listening and have evidence. Yes.
Don't you have better shit to do, FBI?
And that's one of the takes right now is the FBI is doing this? Really? We don't have more national security issues than college kids getting paid?
The FBI is doing it.
Yeah.
And I read that other than this kid from Arizona, which we'll get to.
Yeah.
Because you know a little more about that than I do. Okay. But this kid from Arizona, other than him, the highest sum of money was like $9,000.
That's nowhere near the $100K that this kid from Arizona.
All these other reports are like $9,000-$10,000. Who gives a shit?
Yeah.
And you make millions on one game.
And it's stuff like we gave their parents free flights or we gave their parents whatever. So it's like, if you're a kid. Yeah, if you're going to hook my parents up with stuff, I'm not going to say no. Are you kidding me?
Bring them out, too. Yeah. But these are, one of the reports came out and said, these are coaches' expense reports to the university.
Yeah.
What?
It's a bad look.
What the, how dumb are you? That's called Paper Trail City.
I don't know. That's 101 stuff, right?
Yeah.
You don't put it on paper. You don't put it on anything that can be traced.
And the
you don't
names,
text about it.
The names
you don't
of
email
schools.
About
the names
it.
Of schools we haven't already talked about, because they were involved with this expense report thing too. But the other schools were Louisville, Wichita State, and Xavier. These are big programs.
These are your bread and butter March Madness
they're
teams.
They're in the tournament every single
year. These are the teams that your girlfriend or your wife picks in the tournament because she knows them. Because she knows every year they're good.
Exactly.
You know, these are the teams you get the guy at work who's like, I got $10, I'll throw it in there. Louisville, they're good.
I like Xavier.
Yeah, it's and these are the teams that everybody knows.
Yep.
So It's huge.
But these are expense reports where the coach is going back to the university and going, hey, here's my expense report. I gave this family like $6,000.
Just write that off, please.
Expense that. Yep. Return that money to me because I just broke them off.
The two flights Southwest,
and
cross country.
And if you're the person
that's
processing those expense reports and Coach K comes in with an expense report, you process it.
Yeah.
Because he's the most powerful person at the university.
Do you want a job? You're just going to push that paper through.
Oh, Coach Cal? Coach Cal, the most important person in the University of Kentucky? You're telling me that I can't process this?
Yeah.
Well, I guess you should pack your shit.
Yeah. Because I'll find somebody who can. Exactly. Honestly. Yeah.
And the wild thing is these are blue bloods, and the impact is these reports include a handful of current players.
Yep.
And the NCAA could immediately deem those players ineligible. That can still happen.
And we're 2 weeks away from March Madness?
We're right on the cusp. We're
right there.
So
the NCAA's arguably biggest moment of the year, their basketball tournament.
And they've got this dark cloud.
And a huge cloud on all of their big name programs.
What are your thoughts? Big deal, not like,
this is a huge deal.
Okay.
And I think it's to the point now where NCAA needs to come out and say, this is happening. This is how we're going to regulate it.
The worst thing is the NCAA, there's no possible way that they're just now like, oh man, we have a problem.
We didn't even know.
No, what they're like is,
how do we make this look
good?
We
do have a problem.
Yeah.
Well, the FBI's here now. You knew the whole time that
you
this
did.
Shit was
so
going
now
on.
I think they're in crisis mode we need to figure out how to spin this. And then,
but
for me, the best thing they can do is how do you regulate it now? This
kid,
is happening. How do you regulate it?
I don't know if you can.
Well, if you're not going to pay the athletes, well, then you need to be able to do the – if you're going to recruit, okay, yeah, then, yeah, you can give away this
amount
of dollars
and
or whatever.
And if you're caught doing anything else, we're not going to vacate wins. You just can't put people on scholarships. Because these are one-and-done players.
You need to take away big things like scholarships.
These are one-and-done players, correct?
Yeah, they're all one-and-done guys. And how do you get a one-and-done who, by the way, the NBA forces you to go to college, right? You can't just go high school to NBA anymore. So you have to go one year.
Do you think the one-and-done rule is on its way out?
I think it has to be at this point.
Wow.
Because really, you're forcing these kids to go to college for 1 year. They don't want to go. They don't give a shit about
the
education because they're staying for 1 year,
they don't
right?
care.
So how are you going to get them to go to your school? It's not the education. It's not the scholarship. This is what I can do for you right now.
Yep.
You're going to go to the NBA next year.
You
Let
can
me
pay
front
me back.
You
yep.
this money right now.
And it's agents doing it.
It is.
So
it's
the university
agents, it's
can
boosters,
say, oh,
it's,
what? I what?
Yep. The coach and the presidents and all this, they're all saying, we had nothing to do with this. It's agents and boosters and all this. We didn't even know, really. You didn't know why this five-star recruit chose you over Duke.
For real.
I mean, come on.
Good news. Neither UF or UW were found in any of these reports or research.
I'm okay with that.
Yet. Because if you look at me and you say, Billy Donovan didn't do any of this, I would go, we won back-to-back national titles.
Yeah. Bo Ryan was just a really good coach.
How often do back-to-back national titles happen? Yeah. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
like
Wisconsin made the Final Four on pure education.
You don't get kids from down south to come to Wisconsin on their own accord.
No.
You got to be breaking them off something. And that's tough, you know? So it's definitely interesting. It's a tough situation, and we'll keep an eye on that, too. I think you're right, though. College basketball, as we know it, may never be the same because it could change next year.
This
They're
year's
make...
tournament might be the last of what you're familiar with.
Yeah,
really.
It could be.
It could be.
Let's move on to segments, man. Do you got anything else?
I do not. I would like some segment action.
All right. Let's. You got Dumbass of the Week?
I do have Dumbass of the Week. I have three of them. So I'm going to start out with a Dumbass of the Week / You're an Asshole. Okay.
Oh, nice.
I'm a Justin. I'm a Justin Thomas guy. I am. I like Justin Thomas.
Yeah, me too.
You know what, Justin Thomas, this weekend you are an asshole. Okay.
Asshole.
He won the PGA Tour event this weekend.
Yeah.
And he...
Is it the Honda Classic
or something like that?
Yeah.
Okay. So at one point, he had a fan removed from the course. this fan was rooting for his ball to find the water or to find the bunker. Not during his swing, mind you. Mm. Immediately after his swing. But
in the water!
Get in the bunker! And at one point, he turns around and he says, "Who was that? Was that you? Was that you? Get him out of here." Really? Really? I get it. Golf is a gentleman's game, and only the prestigious...
You're also of the mind frame of, you paid for that ticket.
You paid for that ticket.
You can yell whatever you
no
want.
No shit. And if it's not during his swing or while he's putting, if that ball's in the air and you go, "Get right, get in the bunker," I'm sorry, I guess you should have hit that ball a little better. And you're winning. Really? And then he said, "Oh, I would have done it if it were somebody yelling at a different player. There's no place for that in golf." Oh, really? Now we're going to get on our high horse. This isn't Augusta, okay? This is some bullshit tournament in the middle of winter that nobody cares
about.
And
you're frustrated because you're getting smoked.
Yeah.
You're frustrated because you can't find the fairway.
You're frustrated because your ball's going to the bunker again.
I get his frustration,
but I
also...
What are you
going to
do at the Ryder
like,
Cup when the guys are yelling?
Yeah. All right. Dumbass of the week.
Come on.
I don't hate that.
Be a professional.
Hey, Justin Thomas, you're an asshole.
You're an asshole.
Don't get a guy kicked out.
This, and really, yeah, give him a warning.
His
hey, was that
were
you?
Probably
hey,
there
can
too.
You be appear? Turn around, get in that dude's face, and say, "Can you be more respectful, please? I'm trying to play golf."
Yeah,
I get it, man.
I get it, man. You're having fun, but come on,
come on. You don't just turn around. Who is
to,
that? Get him out.
I don't
of
come
here.
To your job and say, "Oh, he dropped that burger on the floor."
And I'm totally okay with that because then it's like, hey, you know. You put him on the spot,
sure.
You make him feel uncomfortable. I'm okay with that.
All right.
Turn around and get him out of here.
You got
really?
Another one?
I do. Josh McDaniels, you're a dumbass. Josh McDaniels is going to forego the combine this week. Probably because he doesn't want to go to Indianapolis. Might be a little awkward to be in that building after you just stiffed him on their head coach.
So why does that make him a dumbass?
Josh McDaniels, who is a staple at the combine for the Patriots, has decided he wants to forego this year. You're a dumbass. You could have been the head coach there, and now you're too scared to go into the building after you just stiff them. Are you kidding me? Grow a set. Go in there and do your job.
That's a solid take.
Come on.
What's your next one? I know you got one more.
My last one is Delta Airlines. Delta Airlines on Twitter.
Hey, Delta, you're a dumb.
Here we go. Delta Airlines. Do you know where I'm going with this?
Go ahead.
So the U.S., I believe it was, it may have been the curling team.
I think it was.
They were flying back, and they tweeted, very simple, at Delta Airlines, and said, "Hey, we have a couple gold medalists flying back. Any upgrades available?" And Delta Airlines' response from their official Twitter account was something to the effect of, "Congratulations on your gold medal experience. We're so proud and honored to have Olympic gold medalists flying on our airlines. But sorry, we don't have any upgrades available. Enjoy your flight, and thanks for flying Delta Airlines."
You're a dumbass. Really, you had an opportunity.
This is such
there.
A great marketing opportunity.
Yeah, you could have. You could have helped them out and then shot commercials. Do whatever.
Yeah. Oh, sure. We'll take care of you. Is it cool if we take pictures with you?
Yeah.
Hey, can we take pictures of the medals on our flight?
You could have picked anything.
Anything.
And you picked Delta.
And instead, they said, "Sorry, we don't have any room. Enjoy your flight with the commoners in the back," and now your Twitter account's going to be blown up by all these people saying, "This is America, and you have gold medalists flying back on your flight, and you don't want to throw them a bone and some extra peanuts in first class? Come on.
That's tough.
You're a dumbass."
I agree. That's pretty bad.
Yeah.
I've got a worse weekend than you. I've got Mark Cuban.
Okay.
Mark Cuban, so we may have to deep dive again.
Ooh.
Mark Cuban, there's been these harassment and assault claims saying that the Mavs are a hostile place to work for women. And there's this quote, air quotes, built-in protection for a lot of men in the organization.
Okay.
It was a guy named Earl Sneed that had a history of domestic violence allegations, and Mark Cuban had the opportunity to fire him, and he didn't at the time.
He didn't know what was going on, right?
And Mark Cuban says, "I didn't know."
Didn't know.
And they've said, "Well, you're the owner." And he's taking a lot of blame for that.
Mm-hmm.
Not to mention, he was fined $600,000, which Mark Cuban is a
in the bucket. Billionaire.
With a capital B.
With a B, yeah.
Billionaire.
Yeah.
he pisses $600,000. But he was fined that for saying it's in his team's best interest to tank. That does not sit well.
It's not a good look with the league.
Worst weekend than I had, yeah, for sure.
Worst weekend than me. Sean Miller, head coach of Arizona basketball, reportedly on tape talking about giving $100,000,
yeah,
to a recruit to get him to come to Arizona. The FBI apparently has this on wiretaps. Worst weekend than me. The worst weekend, Tim Tebow.
Oh, whoa, bro.
Tim Tebow rolled his ankle on a sprinkler head, yeah, in the outfield. He's going to be out. Could be out for a week or two.
Get well soon,
Tim. It's a shame. Timmy T, just when he was ready to break into the majors, rolls his ankle on a sprinkler head.
Maybe not the worst weekend that I have, but definitely the most awkward. Jimbo Fisher.
Okay.
At Texas A&M.
Is this the Jalen Ramsey thing?
Puts out this poster of the DBs, yeah, and their combined income in the NFL saying, hey, if you're defensive back, come play for me. And Jalen Ramsey comes out and tweets, he has not taught me a single defensive technique.
No.
Not a single one.
It was him and the tight ends coach,
sure,
from FSU that, yeah, were using this promotional,
yeah, and he poster came out and said, no, I got nothing but respect for you too, yeah, but don't use my poster
don't
at a
that
school that I didn't go to.
Yeah.
When he
they
didn't
were using
teach
him
me
to recruit
thing
for Texas
for
A&M,
A&M, yeah, when he went to FSU. Yeah. So that's a tough look. Worst weekend than I had. Hit us up at Podcast BSR. This is electric. Scout Team Radio has a beards versus mustache debate going on. What are you, a mustache guy?
I'm a mustache guy.
All right.
Because I can't grow a good beard.
Get in that. They are at Scout Team or our boy Chris America. You can find him. He ain't hard to find. Another thing electric, Pizza Hut is now the new NFL pizza sponsor.
Ooh, Papa John's taking a hit there.
Papa John's took a hit there. What do you prefer?
It depends on the day. I like the garlic sauce, but I'm also a stuffed crust guy. So.
I'm a stuffed crust guy, but Pizza Hut gives me diarrhea.
I hear you.
The other thing is Gronk to the WWE, and yeah, you're going on Two Man Band Podcast.
I will be on Two Man Band Podcast this weekend. Shout out to them. Shout out to 12 Ounce Sports Radio.
And shout out to Chair Shot. You know the Two Man Band thing will be there. You know you'll find BSR there. Chair Shot Radio, they're the shit. 12 Ounce Sports, you can find us there. Tomorrow live, if you're listening to this, you found it. And the Natrell Jamerson interview is exclusive to 12 Ounce Sports for this week. After that, you can find it anytime you find our podcast, iTunes, Google Play, CastBox, Podbean, wherever you listen to podcasts, you can find it. And we will see you next time.